Well, good morning.
Welcome to Redeemer Bible Church on this beautiful, rainy Mother's Day day. And you have come out. Man, the Marines, good to see you this morning. This is a great day to celebrate mothers. If you're here today, and whether you're a mother or you're not a mother, we're glad that you're here today. You know, I'm sure we have some ladies here that are not mothers, but wish they were. And I'm sure we have some mothers here who are mothers, but wish they weren't. So nonetheless, whether you are or you're not, we are glad that you are here this morning. Now, let me just give you, I know that for you mothers that, you know, you get gifts all the time and, you know, you've received them for years and, you know, you kind of get tired of the scarves and you get tired of the notes and you get tired of the candy. You know, you'd wish people would kind of come up with something else a little different, a little better. But I just want to say to you, especially as we get a little more advanced in years, that you've got to learn to appreciate what your kids give you. Okay, so be, you know, for whatever you get, be appreciative of it. Let me tell you about three brothers that were arguing about who gave the best gift to their mother on Mother's Day. Their mother was quite elderly, and her thinking was not too good, and her eyesight was getting very terrible. But the brothers were arguing about this, and one son said, "I've given our mom the best gift there is. I gave her a home, a beautiful home, a big home, virtually a mansion." The second son said, "Well, I think I did more than that. What I did for mom is I gave her a Mercedes. And not just a Mercedes, I also supplied a chauffeur for her." And the third son said, "Well, I think I did even better. You know how our mother loves to read the Bible, but yet she cannot see very well now. So what I did is I got her a parrot, a trained parrot that can quote any verse in the Bible. All you got to do is give the verse and quote it in English, in any language, and in fact, can even quote it in Hebrew and Greek, because for 12 years this parrot was trained by the distinguished scholars at Dallas Theological Seminary. This parrot can do amazing things." Well, they gave their gifts. The mother decided to write thank you notes, and this is what she said to the first son. "The house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole thing." The second son said, she said, "I am too old to travel. I stay most of the time at home, so I rarely use the Mercedes. And besides, the driver is so rude, he's just a pain." To the third son, she said, "You are truly my favorite son. Thank you for the thoughtful, practical gift. The chicken was delicious." Learn to appreciate what you get. So glad that you're here this morning. You know, I don't know about you. You know, sometimes moms are good and sometimes it's not. But I'm going to tell you, I was blessed to have a marvelous mother. Two quotes from history, I think, best describe her. Booker T. Washington once said, "If I have done anything in life worth attention, I feel sure that I inherited the disposition from my mother." And also Abraham Lincoln, who once said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Boy, I think I can agree with that. Well, you know what? If you are a mother, would you, we're not going to, you know, first I talked to Forrest about maybe having you come down here and sing a song for us, but he thought that might be a little bit intrusive. So if you are a mother, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. And would you give these mothers a hand that are here today? Because it is a tremendous job. And not to overlook anyone, if there's anyone here that was born of a mother, would you please raise your hand? My apologies to those of you who were hatched in a petri dish. But nonetheless, we're glad that you're here today. Let me give you a couple quick announcements. In front of you, around you, is a little Connect card. And on that Connect card, if you are a regular here, you could fill that out if you want to give us some update information or if you want to share a prayer request. If you are a guest here today, we'd love to have a record of your visit. And when you fill this out, if you just fill that out, take it in the back. I'll be back there, and we'd love to give you a gift from the church, a coffee mug, just to say thank you for being our guest today. couple of other announcements are that there is a barbecue fundraiser. By the way, I want to encourage you to read your bulletin. You know, just read the bulletin. It's always difficult to do, but it's one of those simple things, but it seems so hard to do. I pastored churches in the years, and sometimes I was the last one to read the bulletin, but please pay attention to them each week. Let me just give you a couple of quick highlights. There's a barbecue fundraiser for the Hungry Mission, and these tickets are available for purchase today in the foyer, and you can see the time of this event. Also, let me explain something here. We have been meeting on Wednesday nights, and I want to encourage you to come if you haven't. We kind of have it under the umbrella of a Good News Community, and it is a group where you can come, and we start at 5:30, we eat, and then we get into a little of the Word of God, and we do some prayer, and we do a little singing. We'd love to have you be a part of that. But we're also fixing to start a home new Good News Community group, and this will be in the home of Jane Leninger. And that is going to be at 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, beginning of May 21st. If you are interested in attending that group, if you would let me know, or you can call the office here, and we'd love to have you to be a part of that. Just let us know. We'd love to have you a part of that. Well, okay, thank you for being here. We've got the choir up here going to sing here in just a moment. And let's prepare to worship and continue to worship by praying. Would you bow with me as we speak to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, we thank you as always that this is another wondrous day that we can come to worship you. Lord, we thank you for answered prayer, perhaps that have been offered to you. Lord, we thank you for the prayers that you are in the midst of answering. Lord, we thank you for the great stuff that you bring into our lives. We also thank you for the things that are challenging and are hard. Because there's nothing that comes into our lives that has not first been sifted through your hands. Lord, we praise you that you are in control of all things. Lord, we thank you for the mothers that are represented here and for the godly mothers that we have had. Lord, we praise you for those. We thank you for their input. It's not an easy job. So, Lord, we pray your blessing upon not only the mothers in this place, but across this land, in particular those who love you and are trying to set the example for their children, sometimes in very difficult settings. Lord, we come to praise you. Motivate us to do that this morning. Help us to sing with vigor. And Lord, help us to listen with the same vigor, with the intent of taking your truth and putting it into the works of our lives, not only as we are here, but when we leave this place. We commit this time to you, this church to you, the ministries of this church to you, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. In his name we pray. And all of God's people said together, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to everyone. What we would like to do now is just give you an opportunity to stand and greet those around you. And so what I'd like you to do is find someone kind of close to you, tell them your name, shake their hand, tell them you're glad that they're here, and tell them how many times you've had to footnote this week. And if you don't remember what that's from last week, that's fine. The other person will look at you like you're funny. That's okay. Go ahead and stand up. Let's say hello.
All right, everybody. Let's find our places. Please return to your places, but also remain standing. Thank you.
Good morning. This morning, I'd like to read from Psalms 104. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. And I'd like for you, if you would, just for a moment, indulge in some imagination with me. Imagine you're standing on a mountainside in Lebanon, maybe 3,000 years or so ago, about the time of David. And you're standing there on this mountainside in Lebanon, and you're looking around at these trees, cedars, great cedars. They're some of them 12 stories tall, with branches that stick out 50 feet from the trunk. Huge, amazing trees. The birds are singing, going in and out of their nests as you're standing there and also watching them. You're also noticing that the sun is setting. A big ball of orange coming to the horizon. As it comes down below the mountain, you're watching it slowly disappear until the last little bit of orange is gone. And then it's getting darker. You're looking up and you see a crescent moon appearing. And as you're looking at that awesome sight, you're noticing the stars coming out. And you're realizing, as you hear the animals start to creep around you, that you're also among and are God's creatures. And you're seeing around you how he's taking care of them. Let's start with verse 16. In Psalm 104, the trees of the Lord drink their fill, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds build their nests, and the stork, whose home is in the juniper trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badger. He made the moon and for the seasons. The sun knows the place of its setting. You appoint the darkness and it becomes night, in which all the animals of the forest prowl about, the young lions for their prey, and they seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw, and they lie down in their dens. A person goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. Lord, how many of your works in wisdom have you made? You've made them all. The earth is full of your creation. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Remain standing.
Shines the brightest sun, Jesus, you're glorious, you are so glorious. with eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious.
Sing it again, your face.
Your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. With eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful. In your hands you hold the stars. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, your glory. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. Oh, oh, have your glory, Lord. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory.
Our hearts now to yours. God, and all will see how great.
Thank you, God, that you are the name above all names, the God above all deities, above any person or anything that we can fathom. Lord, we surrender fully to you this morning. And I pray that we are honoring to our parents, honoring to our mothers. If they are still here, that we would go to them today and we would tell them just how grateful we are that you created them to be our mother. And Lord, I pray that if we have pent up, if we have anything pent up, Lord, that we would surrender that to you this morning. And I pray that we would not hold grudges and we would not hold on to the past. And I pray that we would let that go and we would put that at your feet as well. And we would realize that we are all here for one purpose, and it's to glorify you. And Lord, whether we've had, let's say, a good mother, a bad mother, good upbringing, bad upbringing, Lord, that you are working through all things. And Lord, above all else, you should be praised. Lord, I pray on this day that we would remember that. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning and you'd be with Forrest as he brings forth your word. In your name I pray. Amen.
Last week, Saturday, something amazing happened here at the church. And last Saturday was the men's breakfast. And I was finishing up, locking the place down, and walked out to the parking lot. And there were a number of cars still here, three cars still here plus mine. And so it was kind of weird because I thought I was the only one here. And so I walked out to find out that Jacob Brown, who's not here this morning, his SUV would quit working. And so he had the hood pulled up. And there were two other guys that were there from the men's group that were also there trying to help him get it situated. So one was Tom Gordon, the other one was Jake McDaniel. And so the three of them were standing around the truck working on it. And so the thing that was amazing was not that somebody broke down in a church parking lot, because that happens, you know, that's not that uncommon of a thing. It's not even uncommon that somebody helped him. But what I was able to see from a vantage point, as I talked to those three guys, I was able to see from my vantage point that the Lord was using that in a very powerful way. And what I want to do this morning is I want to use that situation as a way to help us understand what's going to be happening in the book of Proverbs. So I'll tell you at the very end what the result was, but I want you to understand that situation was a powerful, powerful moment. It was more than what meets the eye. And a lot of the reason why it was so positive, why it was so beneficial, why it was so magnificent was because there were three people who were being faithful to do what was wise. They were being just wise people, and in the process of being wise, the Lord used them to do something powerful. And this morning we're going to look at a proverb which is going to talk about how sometimes our obedience, our being wise, as the Bible understands wise, there's more to it. When you and I choose to do the wise thing, we are putting ourselves in the place where God is already working. And the reality is that for most people, when we think about making a decision about doing something that's wise or doing something that's foolish, when we normally make those decisions, we start with kind of this perspective in our head: can I afford to do something wrong here and handle the consequences? Can I afford this, or is this a bad time in my life? And so what humanity does in general is they look at something, they look at a decision, and they oftentimes may know that it would be foolish to make a certain decision, but they evaluate in their mind, hey, can I get away with this? Can I handle the negative that's coming from this decision? And that's how they determine whether or not to do it. Not is it the right thing, not is it the wrong thing to do, it's based upon consequences. And oftentimes, people who call themselves believers do the exact same thing. They're in a situation, they're walking through a situation, and they are presented with a choice. And instantly, instead of saying, what does the Bible say about what I should do here? Let me pray about this and see what the Lord would have me do. Instead of doing that, what they say is, what are the consequences to this? Can I handle those consequences? And for many of us, if we could really just sit down over a cup of coffee and we could talk through and dialogue about the hundreds of thousands of decisions we make a day, if we were honest with each other, we would probably come to the conclusion that more times than not, we make the decisions not because we know it's the right thing to do, not because we know that's what the Lord wants us to do, but because we're worried about the consequences. Or we want the benefits that doing what is wise would bring. And so this morning, what I want to introduce to you, and I think this proverb helps in a very powerful way, introduce to you that there is more going on than meets the eye. And so what I've done is I've come up with an English proverb that helps us to understand what's going on in the Hebrew proverb in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. And I'll tell you this proverb that I crafted. I'll tell you here in a minute. But if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, and that's where we are today. And we're going to look at this proverb in chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. And what this proverb is going to explain is Solomon is writing to his son, and he's letting him know another reason why he should choose to be wise. He says, this is another reason why it's a good idea for you, my son, to be wise. And as I was studying through this, I'm like, I don't think we think about this that much. We don't think about this idea. And what I want to do is I want to introduce it to you in a way that I hope is creative and I hope is helpful and I hope that it'll help you begin to understand what's going on here. And so the proverb that I crafted is this: wisely begun and wisely done is the Lord among. Let me start up. Wisely begun and wisely done is the Lord among. Now, that's kind of you're not wholly completely sure what that means, and that's part of the dynamics with a proverb. That's part of the idea with a proverb. What the proverb is saying is not like right out there. You have to think about it a little bit. And so that's kind of the same thing that we're dealing with when we look at these two verses in the book of Proverbs. It's not super clear in the front. What is Solomon trying to say? What is the Holy Spirit trying to say through Solomon? And what I'm going to propose to you is what Solomon is saying is wisely begun and wisely done is the Lord among. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. If you start with me looking at verse 19, I'm going to tell you where I got this idea of why or wisely begun. Verse 19 says this: the Lord founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding. So the Holy Spirit is inspiring Solomon, and he's writing down here, the Lord founded the earth. He established, he began. These are words that are indicating early time. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. Essentially, what this is saying here is that when the Lord created the earth, he used wisdom. When the Lord created the earth, he used wisdom. Now, I wish we could camp here for a little while, but I just want you to think about it. Why? Why did the Lord need or choose to use wisdom? Isn't wisdom, by the nature of who God is, whatever he does? Why did he use wisdom? Keep that question in your mind as we go along. First part of 19 says, the Lord founded the earth by wisdom. And the next part, the next colon here in verse 19 says this: he established, he made firm, just kind of a play on words here, it's kind of a poetic thing. He established the heavens by his understanding. He established, he made firm, he created the heavens by his understanding, which is in this poetic format here. It's another word, it's a synonym for wisdom. So the Lord created the earth by wisdom, and he formed, he made firm the heavens by his understanding / wisdom. And the question remains, why did the Lord use wisdom when he created the earth? Did he need to use wisdom? No. But why did he? Because he wanted to demonstrate to us that wisely begun and wisely done is the Lord among. And as we'll see, as we look at the next section, the next verse here, we're going to see that this is how the Lord does things. He does things in a way according to wisdom for our benefit, not for his. Let me give you an example from our Saturday morning experience. As I walked out and I saw the truck, the lid was up on the truck, and the guys had their head underneath there trying to figure out what was going on. As listening to him talk, I realized that Tom had walked out of the men's breakfast on the way to his truck, and he saw a brother in need. Now, I don't know whether this verse came to his mind, but there's a verse in many places, but the one in particular is James chapter 2. And it's an instruction that if you see your brother in need, you should take care of it. And for whatever the reasoning was that Tom did that, he walked out to his truck. And instead of saying, wow, that's terrible, Jacob's car won't start, I'm going to go live my life, he followed the wisdom in James and said, I'm going to help a brother in need. And that's what he did. And what is interesting about that, or what is so powerful about that, is not that Tom helped somebody, because Tom is a very helpful guy and he probably would help anybody that he could. But he was doing something. By being obedient, he was doing something. He was participating in what the Lord was already doing. That's why the Lord used wisdom at the beginning, to demonstrate that that's how he does things. And so if we want to be a part of what he's doing, we need to use wisdom as well. Wisely begun is wisely, and wisely done is the Lord among. The Lord used wisdom when he created to demonstrate it to us that when we use wisdom in the way we live our lives, we can participate in what he's doing as well. So here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you in your mind. I want you to think through the areas of your life, and I want you to come up with a place. It might be at your home. It might be at your work. It might be at your school. It might be here at the church. I want you to think of a place where you can say that you know for sure the Lord is working. From your observation of what's going on in this place, whether it's your home or your school or your work or here at the church or wherever it is, where you can say, you know what, I can see the Lord is working there. And what I want you to do is I want you to isolate that situation in your mind. Identify it. The Lord is working here, wherever it is. And once you have that place, I want you to hold it, because we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. But I want you to isolate in your mind a place where you could say, I know the Lord is working here. I have no doubt that the Lord is working in this area. I can see how he is working in the circumstances to bring about something. Isolate that thing in your mind. So why should Son of Solomon and why should we be wise? The first thing we saw is wisely begun. And now we're going to look at wisely done. Look with me at verse 20. Verse 20 says this, by his knowledge, the ocean depths were burst open, and the clouds drip with dew. So by his knowledge, another synonym here for his wisdom, by wisdom, the ocean depths were burst open. So here referring to as the rivers and as the springs, as the water gushes up from out of the ground onto the earth, in this mindset of how they saw those things, they were under the impression that the ocean was bursting out. And so what he's talking about is by the Lord's knowledge, the ground is watered from the springs and the rivers. It goes on at the end of verse 20, and by his knowledge, it's not repeated there, but it's implied from the first line, by his knowledge he established, the clouds drip with dew, the rain falls down. It's a little poetic inference there about how the rain comes down. And the whole picture here is that by the Lord's knowledge, he waters the earth. It's not something he did like creation at one moment. It's something that he continually does. And demonstrating from Solomon as he's writing about this, what he's demonstrating to his son is that the Lord uses wisdom on a continual basis. The Lord uses wisdom in the way that he waters the earth now. Wisely begun and wisely done is the Lord among. Let's go back to the situation on Saturday. As I walked out and I saw Tom there, and Tom had a torch and he was torching something and getting something situated. But then there was also Jake was there. Jake was there as well. And Jake was in this situation was being a huge encouragement to Jacob. Just saying, hey, we'll get this figured out. Jacob was a little concerned, just trying to figure out how to get his truck, how's he going to get back home, and all of that. So Jake was like, not a problem. We're going to get this fixed, trying to be an encouragement. And what Jake was doing here, whether he was thinking of this passage or not, but what Jake was doing is he was following through on the wisdom that's from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, which says, be an encouragement to one another. And so what he was doing is he was obeying that concept, and he was trying to be an encouragement to Jacob in the midst of the difficulty. And what he was doing is he was putting himself in a place where he was doing what the Lord was doing in this situation. Jake was being wise. And what I'm building this to is where when you hear the end of the story, I want you to see that by their wise choices to obey, they were putting themselves where God was already working. And so as you've thought about this place, as you've thought about this area where you know the Lord is working, here's what I want you to do. I want you to map out in that place, map out the people who are influenced by that area. Map out in your mind, what are the people, who are the people that are influenced by this? Probably yourself would be one of those people. But who else is influenced by what the Lord is doing there? Think about this. Is it a friend? Is it a family member? Is it someone else? Alex, would you give me something to drink, please? Thank you. Appreciate it. Think about who are the people that are in that situation who are influenced by what the Lord is doing. It's affecting you, obviously, but who else is being influenced by what the Lord is doing there? And the idea behind this is I'm trying to get you to stretch your mind and think a little bit that whenever the Lord is working, he's working in that situation, but he's involving other people in what he's doing. Wisely begun and wisely done is the Lord among. Let's read verses 19 and 20 together. And the Lord founded the earth by wisdom. He established the ocean depths. He established the heavens by understanding. Verse 20, by his knowledge, the ocean depths were burst open, and the clouds drip with dew. We start at verse 19. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge, the ocean depths were burst open, and the clouds drip with dew. And in this story, this proverb that Solomon is communicating, what is being demonstrated is that the Lord is using wisdom to create the earth and the sky. And the Lord is using wisdom to water the earth. How about water? Thank you. Half and half is not going to do the trick. That was nice. Good job. So the Lord is using, the concept here is that wisely begun and wisely done is what the Lord is doing by keeping the water flowing and watering the ground. And reason he does it that way is to communicate the Lord is among that work. And the idea behind this is that the Lord is demonstrating to the people who are listening and reading this, and he's demonstrating to Solomon and Solomon's son, is that he uses wisdom so that when we use wisdom, we are doing what the Lord is doing together. And when I came out to this situation, when I came out to this atmosphere that was going on in the parking lot, it was very interesting because here I saw Jacob, who was in a spot where his truck wouldn't start. Here was Tom, who was obeying James, and he was helping a brother in need, and here was Jake encouraging a brother that needed encouragement. And as I walked into that situation and as I saw what was going on, I thought, this is an opportunity for me to be a pastor to these three guys. So I began to talk with them and find out what was going on and how could I help. And they didn't want me touching the truck.
which is probably smart, but they wanted to know, you know, I wanted to be an encouragement to them and just kind of see what was going on around it. And in the end result of what happened was, is that after we got the truck running and we got it all situated and everything was situated, Jake and Tom went back to their trucks to start putting their tools away, and so I started talking to Jacob, whose truck was the one that stopped running. And he said, I knew, as soon as this truck wouldn't start, I knew the Lord was working. The Lord was doing something. He said, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what the Lord had in mind, but I knew the Lord was working in the situation. And as we were, before we got the truck started, we were standing there, and I saw these three guys interacting with each other. I just prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, please get this truck working. This would be such an encouragement for these three guys. They come from three different walks of life. And if you could get this truck working, that would be such an encouragement to them. So please, Lord, get that truck running. And he did. And in the end, at the end of the situation, after Jake left, and I was just there with Tom and with Jake, I told the guys, I said, hey, thanks for doing this. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for being a part of this. Thanks for helping him out. And they said, not a problem. We enjoyed the opportunity to do something to help somebody else. And in the midst of that time, after they all left, I thought to myself, I'm the one who needed that story. I'm the one who needed that encouragement. I needed to see people working together to make something work. And when I did, I was encouraged. And I walked away from that situation understanding that at some point in the day, at some point in that morning, Tom had a choice to make. Am I going to do what's wise, or am I going to do something else? And he chose to do what was wise. Jake had an opportunity at that point in the morning to say, what am I going to do here? Am I going to do what's wise, or am I going to do something else? And Jacob had an opportunity to reach out and ask for help. And he had a choice to do what was wise or to do something else. And when the three of them all together said, I'm going to do what is wise, the end result was not just that Jacob's truck got running. That was great. That was great. That was wonderful. But that's not the thing. That's not the sum total of it. It's not just that Tom and Jake and Jacob all felt encouraged that somebody cared about them. What's more important about what happened is by their faithfulness to be wise, the Lord worked in the midst. And that is the point of this proverb. The Lord used wisdom wisely begun. And he continues to work wisely done to demonstrate to us that the Lord is among. And if you and if I want to be a part of what the Lord is doing, then it simply boils down to this. Be wise. In the decisions that you make each and every day, don't get out the chart and say, what are the bad things that are happening? What are the good things that can happen? And I'm going to choose to do that. Don't make decisions on determining if you can handle the negative consequences. Look at the decisions and say, what does the Lord say through the Bible is the wise thing to do? And choose to do that. And that's my challenge for you this week. Think as you're looking at this week, I've already asked you to isolate an area where you know the Lord is working in your life, whatever that area might be. And then I've asked you to think about the people that will be affected by whatever decision you make. And I'm going to challenge you to this week, in that area, make a wise decision. If you need to, open up your Bible and read through and flip through and find what is a wise decision to make in this situation. If you already know, that's fine. make a wise decision. This week, that is my challenge for you. In this area you've isolated, where you've already seen that the Lord is working, make a wise decision based on what the Bible has to say. And if you have to, it's probably not a bad idea, footnote why you're making the decision you're making. This point in the service, we participate in a time that we call the Lord's Supper. And if you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand, and we have some gentlemen in the back who will be happy to get one of those for you. And we enjoy the opportunity each week to reflect during this time on what the Lord has done through the obedience of Jesus to provide forgiveness for our sins. Not just the forgiveness of the biggies, but to provide forgiveness for all of the things that we do in our lives that are not wise. Forgiveness for all of the decisions that we make when we choose not thinking through all the consequences and we choose to do what we think we're okay with the consequences. Instead of realizing that the Lord is calling us, is beckoning us to be a part of what He is doing, and simply all we have to do is be wise. The first part of the Lord's table, we often quote from the book of 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself." On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and He broke it with His disciples, and He says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as the bread was used to remind the disciples what would happen, or remind them later about what would happen, and what we use it as an opportunity for us to remember that Jesus was willing for His own body to be broken and bruised to provide our forgiveness. Then He took the cup and He demonstrated that this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then He concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again."
Let's stand and sing one more time before we leave today. Sing H2H.
How great is our God?
Try to be positive as much as I can. And I could have probably told you a lot of stories about how if you choose to do the unwise thing, it's going to have negative consequences for you. I don't want to harp on that, but it's a reality. And I want you to think about, especially on your way out, that your choices have the opportunity to be a part of what the Lord is doing and being a positive influence on the people around you, just like Tom and Jake did. Your choices have just as much possibility for harm every single day. Don't want to put that on a super huge negative note, but it wouldn't be fair to just keep it on the positive without going there. Pay attention to what you do. Pay attention to what you say. Pay attention to where you go. If you're having trouble, if you need some help, you need someone to talk to, come on up front. People that are up front will be happy to pray with you and to talk to you, whatever you need. On the way out. Now, all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.